another recall from Toyota.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, good morning. I'm Jeremy Hobson. News this morning from Tokyo of another big Toyota recall. The company says there may be mechanical problems with 1.5 million cars, more than half of them here in the U.S. Marketplace's Mitchell Hartman reports.
The recall in the U.S. affects Lexus, Avalon, and Highlander models from 2004 to 2006. The problem is potential leaking in the brake cylinder. Toyota will notify owners and fix the cars at no charge. The company says no accidents have been reported so far. Toyota faced major quality problems earlier this year and ultimately had to recall more than 10 million cars and trucks after being pressured by safety advocates and regulators. David Bailey at the Coventry University Business School says the company's changed its tune this time around.
In this case, what we're seeing is Toyota acting quickly to recall over a million cars in the U.S. and Japan. But in the car industry, recalls are actually pretty common. We've just seen BMW, Rolls-Royce make big recalls, Toyota doing the same thing. The key thing is identifying the problem, fixing it quickly, and reassuring customers.
Toyota's U.S. sales are up this year, like all big automakers, but not nearly as much as rivals Ford, Honda, and Hyundai. I'm Mitchell Hartman for Marketplace.
Credit markets are reacting to news of big budget cuts in the UK. The rating agency Fitch says it will maintain a AAA credit rating for British debt. That's the highest possible rating. But not everyone is cheering these cuts, as you might imagine. And to get an on-the-ground view, we turn to Jonathan Friedland, an editorial columnist for The Guardian newspaper. He joins us live from London. Good morning.
Good morning to you.
Well, first of all, Fitch seems to be happy about this. Obviously, there are going to be about 500,000 public sector employees there in the UK who will not be happy when they lose their jobs. What are economists over there saying about the move?
Well, economists are predictably perhaps divided. There is a very raucous debate going on here between those who say that if you have a deficit, you have to bring it down, that a government and an economy is like a personal household and you have to only spend what you have. And then there's the other side, actually represented partly by a couple of American economists, Nobel Prize winners Joseph Stiglitz or Paul Krugman. Mm-hmm. They're often invoked here, who say actually the one time not to cut spending is in the teeth of a recession or a downturn, because it can turn that downturn, tip it over, recession into a depression, and cause a spiraling of contraction. And so they're saying that this is exactly not the time to be doing that. And they have their echoes usually on the left of politics, and particularly in the opposition Labour Party.
And Jonathan Friedland, there's obviously been a similar debate going on over here about cutting during a recession or spending more during a recession. I wonder, has the debate on the U.S. side of the Atlantic had any impact on the debate over there?
It has in a couple of ways. Firstly, because those two big name economists, Stiglitz and Krugman, are often invoked. But secondly, the American example, it's been very helpful for the Labour side, the opposition side, to say all we're suggesting is what the Americans and the Obama administration were already doing. And Obama is still a very good brand in British politics. But you hear a bit less of that now that the stimulus itself is a more mixed blessing, if you like, in the United States and less popular. And because people are aware that the midterm elections seem to be going the other way. So you hear less of that, but until pretty recently, it was used as an example to oppose the government here, to say, why is Britain doing this when the biggest economic power in the world, the United States, is going apparently in the opposite direction.
Okay. Well, Jonathan Friedland, thank you so much for joining us.
My pleasure.
Jonathan Friedland, an editorial columnist for The Guardian newspaper. And let's check the world's stock markets. European markets are higher at this hour. London's FTSE index up about 0.75%. Asian markets were mixed on news that China's economy grew 9.6% in the third quarter. The Dow jumped 129 points yesterday to 11,108.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Constellation Energy, committed to customer choice and powering America's clean energy future through investments in nuclear, wind, solar, and efficiency technologies. And by Ally Bank, committed to customer service. At allybank.com, visitors can chat online with a customer care associate 24/7.
The French Senate is expected to vote this week on pension reform. That's the issue that's led to all those big protests over there. The government is trying to tackle huge budget deficits. Our economics correspondent Chris Farrell joins us now. And Chris, you're trying to figure out if there's some similarity between us and France.
So what do? I look at government bond yields.
Of course.
Isn't that what everyone does? Well, I love government bond yields. Lots of information
on
bond yields. Well, French bond yields are up compared to, say, German debt. But here in the U.S., Jeremy, you know, we hear over and over and over again about this huge federal budget deficit that we have. And it is huge, $1.3 trillion. But our interest rates are remarkably low.
And what's the message in that? Why are interest rates so low? I mean, nobody's happy about the red ink here, but we don't have any strikes going on.
Yeah, but I think the difference between France and the U.S. is really instructive. And no, I'm not going to go off on a lot of jokes. I mean, I'm tempted, but I'm not going
to. Thank you.
Okay. Instead, if you go back to the mid-90s, French government was dealing with a big budget deficit, and so it made some changes. And guess what, Jeremy? Guess what? There were strikes and protests.
Uh-huh.
And at that time, there's a comment made by Daniel Cohn-Bendit. Now, I doubt that's a name that's on the tip of your tongue.
Nope.
But he was better known as Danny the Red. And I'm paraphrasing here, but he said something very important. He said, in America, before you get major changes, there are these congressional hearings, there are these public debates between Congress and the president. You got this whole process of public discussion. Whereas in France, the government just says, here's what's going to happen, and we end up with strikes.
And we're right in that process right now. I mean, that conversation does seem to be going on in Washington as we speak.
That's such a delicate word for what's going on in terms of conversation. Yes, it is. But, you know, you're absolutely right. And here's just what's really striking. Hard-nosed investors, the so-called bond market vigilantes, they're betting that the conventional fiscal pessimism about the U.S. is wrong. I mean, really wrong. That if the debt or when the debt and the deficit threaten our prosperity, we'll change the rules of the game. So here's the message in bond yields. Don't sell the American political system short, at least not yet.
Those bond guys are really optimistic people. All right. Marketplace's senior economics correspondent, Chris Farrell, thanks so much.
Thanks a lot.
And finally, just in time for Halloween, the website CareerCast has unveiled its list of the scariest jobs around. Number one, forensic entomologist. Look it up. It is pretty gross. In Los Angeles, I'm Jeremy Hobson. This is the Marketplace Morning Report.
American Public Media.
A couple of years ago, Corin Tucker from the band Slater Kinney noticed things taking a turn for the worse in her adopted hometown of Portland, Oregon.
You know, a couple of the people lost their jobs, and it seemed like it started to snowball. And it suddenly was like, when is this going to end?
I'm Kai Rizdal, a rock star turned stay-at-home mom, reflects on the recession. Our series, The Art of Money, next time on Marketplace from American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.